This is Monocle on Design Extra. It's a short show to accompany our weekly long-form programme, where we unpack everything from architecture and craft to furniture and fashion. I'm Lillian Fawcett in for Maylee Evans. Spring is finally upon us, and with it a goodbye to where some design is truly in its element, and best appreciated amongst a blanket of snow. With a look to solutions geared up for harsh conditions and buildings that complement and blend seamlessly into the rugged landscape, here's Monocle's Greg Scruggs with an elegy to the best of wintry design.
Winter is over. That fact stirs joy in the hearts of most in the Northern Hemisphere, but I am one of those rare birds for whom winter is their favorite season. And so the arrival of the spring equinox brings a sad end to the brief window when I can experience winter-oriented design at its peak. Alpine architecture shines come winter. When design features built to withstand intense winter weather and heavy snowfall test their mettle, steep A-frame rooflines that elegantly shed snow appear exaggerated come summer. Traffic signs that are normally posted 2 meters above the roadway can easily be mounted twice that height in the high country. The ostrich-like signs look comical in the dry season, but manage to sit at the perfect height once the snowbanks pile up. In a warming world, architects are increasingly sensitive to shade and cooling. But in places where winter still reigns supreme, the season gives permission for bright, south-facing orientation with floor-to-ceiling windows. At the Day Lodge in Whistler Olympic Park by Vancouver-based Paul Merrick Architects, sun streaming through the windows thawed my bones on a frigid day after Nordic skiing in temperatures that sat around minus 15 degrees Celsius. Snowy mountains can also soften the blunt edges of brutalism, like the lodges and tram station in Snowbird, Utah. Bunker-like structures are a stark reminder of the destructive power that avalanches bring, a regular occurrence in the tight, steep walls of Utah's Little Cottonwood Canyon. And yet, shrouded by trees, these striking concrete designs of 1960s and 70s vintage also blend into the landscape. Granted, the best designs I saw this winter worked just as well in summer. The sleek, slanted rooflines of homes in the Pacific Northwest's Metau Valley, a signature trait of the style known as Metau Modern, also provides shaded outdoor living space during the area's scorching summers. Japanese outdoors brand Snow Peak runs a shop and cafe in Hakuba, a resort town at the foot of the Japanese Alps. The view from the Kengo Kuma-designed building was stunning during the all-too-brief window of clear weather I had on my ski holiday, and I could easily imagine pitching a tent on the grass come summer. Buildings are a refuge from cold and inclement weather, but I love spending time outside in winter, whether gliding on skis, crunching on snowshoes, or even roaring on a snowmobile. Moving competently on snow and ice is an acquired skill, one aided by ingenious design to keep moisture out of boots or crampons secure underfoot. In the cold, every choice that goes into a garment matters intensely. Can you grip a zipper or finesse a button with a gloved hand? Or must you risk frostbite to fiddle with a pocket? In winter, good design can be the difference between making it home safely or being left out in the cold. Vehicle design takes on a whimsical bent in winter when operators swap tires for tracks. The Snowcat is the quintessential winter ride, an odd combination of truck and tank that ambles across the frozen landscape a bit like a lunar rover. Snowcats are most commonly put to use to groom ski slopes, prepping the pistes each night. And skiing is a chance to appreciate landscape architecture that lives for winter. The best ski resorts balance a mountain's natural contours with human interventions to grade dirt, move rocks, and prune vegetation. As the industry becomes more environmentally conscious, the most progressive resort designers are leaving trees intact, like in the Glissando Glades at Whistler Blackcomb in British Columbia, where ski runs can still serve as wildlife habitat. Reading a winter trail map, meanwhile, is an entirely different cartographic experience from finding your way around a city. Pistes are color-coded by difficulty, hardly how mapmakers rank streets, and maps are stylized, not drawn to scale. Figuring out how to move across a mountain via the chutes and ladders game of trails and lifts is a fun challenge, where a wrong turn leads to far less frustration than it does behind the wheel of a car or inside a subway station. Alas, as spring arrives, I'll soon be spending more time navigating city streets than alpine pistes. Until next winter rolls around, I already can't wait. For Monocle on Design, I'm Gregory Scruggs.
And that's all for this week. If you're eager for more design stories, listen to our full-length program, Monocle on Design, airing on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. London time. Or if you prefer print, then pick up a copy of Monocle magazine on all good newsstands now. Today's episode was produced by Maylie Evans and edited by Jack Dewars. I'm Lillian Fawcett. Thank you for listening.